At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
Remember the prophet who came along in the story? What's he do? Let me tell you what your sin is. You begin to fear and worship the gods of these people. So now it doesn't go to, oh, geez, I didn't realize it. The law comes upon the picture. The law points out what your sin is. Then the assembly shall offer a bull of the herd for the sin offering and bring it before the tent of meeting. So you had dad's bull tear down the idol, an altar on dad's land. But Israel was guilty. So just again, about every scholar goes, that second bull came from the community herd, based on Leviticus chapter 4. And so the second bull, after they tear that down, he builds an altar, correct altar to the Lord, takes the wood down from the Asher pole, uses it as the base to burn, and offers this sacrifice to the Lord, this bull here. The offering that he gave to the Lord when he touched it with the rock, that was Gideon's sin offering. This is Israel's sin offering. Did they ask for it? I wasn't asking for mine when I got mine either. So the law came and showed them their sin. Now the sacrifice has to be made. But what's interesting, too, is Gideon takes these 10 men, and he does it at night. Remember, he's called the mighty man of valor, or the brave guy, all right? But he's afraid of two things: dad, and all the teenagers said, yeah, dad, and the men overall. He was afraid of it, says it particularly in verse 27. I think in this sense, he was probably afraid of dad, but maybe for dad, in the sense he knew, since this was on family land, if it was tore down, who did the people go to first? Dad. I'm afraid how this might affect my family. Now, I'm going to be honest. Very often, obedience has that connotation. And I'll just give you a personal example. Okay, God, if you say so, I'll go do this another master's, man. And I know what that takes. Ask my family. I go out to the office after dinner, and I stay there till 2 in the morning. I get up in the morning, I'm exhausted and wasted, but I got work to do. So I go work, then I come in the house, and I go back out to the trailer and work till 2 in the morning. It cost my family to be obedient. It just simply does. It's costing my body, I can tell you that. All right? And I think he's understanding that. Wait a minute. This is dad's land. This is going to have an effect just on more than just me. And then he's afraid of the men of the town. And we find out why, right? What's the response of the men of the town? Yeah, a posse. String him up. Find the highest tree. I guess that'd be the Western thing, isn't it? Okay? I want you to understand the fear to do something. So I took something that's practical to me, it may not mean a lot to you, This is what's called the Devil's Punch Bowl in Lake Crescent, Washington, where my in-laws have a lake. And that right there runs around 600 feet deep. Okay, in this lake, you can go online and watch the videos where cars have driven off U.S. Highway 101 on the way around the forks, and they missed. And you can go down there at about 170 to 160 feet, the two particular cars 100 yards apart, and see where people died going down off that road. Okay, so but this is called, and pardon, I did name it, Devil's Punch Bowl. And so there was a railroad track that ran through here years ago. And so there's tunnels down here. When you go hiking, you can go. The tunnels aren't secure, so I don't recommend it. They're going to secure those and make them into. But over the years, since I've been going there, they used to be nice and full, and you walk through them. Now they're a little hole you got to get through. Okay, but it gets you out here to Devil's Punch Bowl. Looking from the water, that don't look so bad. And I put a circle right up there at 35 feet. Because people jump from there every year. Every couple years, somebody dies doing it. Now, when I was a young'un, I jumped from up there. I'm going to ask you a question. What would it take to coax you to jump from there?
I ain't going
to do it. I'd go online. I almost brought videos, but sometimes the bathing suits of male and female are not necessarily appropriate. But watching people... And of course, the people down below are saying what? Jump. Come on, jump, chicken. And come on, that's what they're doing. But the guy up here, the guy that actually has to take the leap of faith is going, I mean, macho guys, dude. I mean, there's some pretty tough guys that are going, I remember when I was high school, when we lived over by Hoquiam, Washington, there was a train trestle, and we'd all jump off that lower, and that was probably about 40 feet off the lower level of the train trestle down into this river. But the college guys, you know, because they were smarter, we'd climb up to the top of the trestle and jump off. And it never fails to watch the first time a guy moves from here to, now what's amazing is the girls are always smart enough to stay here. You know what I mean? It was always guys that was going up to the upper level up here. And to watch them going, and what it took to go that extra 20, 25 feet from the top of that trestle. What does it take to go, and usually they do that. They scream as they do it. It relieves the pressure. I don't know what coaxes you to do that. As Gideon's considering the process, somewhere there in the night, he says, maybe this is what it takes, the cover of darkness. And he grabs these 10 guys, and off they go to attack the town shrine. The attack, let me put it this way, in church words, the sacred cow. Or maybe in your workplace, the sacred cow. Everybody has one. And then it says this, and the men of the city rose up early in the morning, and behold. That word behold has to mean to see with surprise or shock. Okay, it wasn't just, oh, hey, look, the Asherah pole's gone. Yeah, where's the paper? Okay, there's a shock. There's a surprise to them in this. All right? And their response is just exactly what Gideon thought. And you heard me tell this. Imagine you did that. You fought. You got the kids ready. You got the tie on, the dress on, the spit up mess you cleaned up. You got the cream of wheat off the top of their forehead, you know, and all those type of things. And you got in the car and you drive here. And if you drove here today, imagine this building in rubble. And across the street is a mosque, a brand new one, put up since last week. What? I'm writing my congressman. Who did this? Come on, I'm just trying to put it in a context where we would be. And so these people, now we're not sure how long this has been up. Maybe it's been up to 7 years. I don't know, but this thing's been up for that long. And so the guys do an investigation. Okay, NCIS shows up. And they do their investigation and they discover it's Gideon. And people ask, how do you know it was Gideon? Let me tell you this. If you're going to do anything in secret, don't take 10 guys with you. Because someone of those guys went home, and his wife went, what you been doing, honey? And he said, nothing. That's right, that's what he said. all right? But she was, I'll say, persistent, all right? And to get a little peas, probably one of them spilled, all right? And so by noon that next day, it was probably all over town, okay? So you got 10 guys with it, it's probably not going to stay a secret. Ask Nixon in Watergate. If he'd have broken by himself, it might have worked out. But he had a whole group of people involved in this process, and then things start to spill. And remember this, life lesson. Just because people say they're with you doesn't mean they are. Just a lesson in the... And it doesn't have to be in the church either. It can be without. So as they search, look at their response. Now it says that they found this new altar and the fact that this bull had been sacrificed. A big dead animal leaves stuff behind. All right, and they've seen that an altar had been built, that a sacrifice has been made. Do they go, oh, thank God. Goodness, somebody's finally got rid of this and did a sacrifice and we're right with God now, right? No. You messed with my religious tradition. Go get him. Go call your son out here, Dad. Now get that. Get that. Not we'll go get him, but you bring your own son out so we can kill him. Wait a minute, there is a father who did that, though, isn't it? Anyway, and he's pretty bright. Now, he's compromised along the way. But look what, you know, he goes on to say, wait a minute, if your God's really God, this is sort of like Elijah, right? It was Elijah, it was Elisha. Prophets of Baal, altar, Elijah. It was like him. Okay, if your God's so great, throw an altar down there, right? Halfway through, he mocks their God. Maybe your God's asleep. Maybe your God's used in the bathroom, all right? This kind of thing. And he says, okay, if your God's real, why do you have to defend him? Why do you have to go get him? If your God's real, let him get him. So they rename Gideon, that word. But what's interesting to me is, in this whole thing, who do you think Gideon in his heart really wanted the support of? Dad. I don't know how many movies, how many psychological sessions with a counselor, how many, because a kid, especially a young man, didn't feel like he got dad's approval. And in my mind, I think of the, and you'll have to forgive me, Indiana Jones movie where Sean Connery is Harrison Ford's dad. Okay. Yeah, whatever one it is, right? And the whole movie, I mean, that's not the main theme, but there's a Harrison Ford, Indiana Jones, just trying to get dad to say, hey, I'm proud of the work you do. Do you remember that? That underlying theme, it's prominent enough in our culture, we put it in movies. In case you didn't know, it was Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2 and 1, where the kid could get his dad to say he's proud of him. I'm not recommending these movies, I'm just saying they're there. My point being is, wait a minute, I think two things are happening here. One is, God knew, for one, Gideon was the youngest. A whole lot of expectations, everything's on the oldest, he's going to get the inheritance. The last kid down the line, he's going to get the smallest portion. He's not going to be expected to achieve as much. And he, even though it's a spiritual warfare, even though God's calling him, he knows there's something Gideon needs before he goes fight. Dead support. I think that's vital. And I'll make another application to that in a minute. How many of you remember Cats in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon, Little Boy Blue and the Man? Anybody besides me? Come on, you old-timers. What's the whole song about? The child that never got his father's support, and the song ends that way. That was it. And I'm sorry if I'm not doing Justin Bieber songs or something for y'all, but I don't know them. I've got gray hair for a reason. Verse 32. And therefore, on that day, That is, the people of the village named Gideon Zerubbabel, which means let Baal contend against him. I want you to contrast this. They call him, go get him, Baal. What did God call him? Mighty warrior or man of valor. I will suggest to you there is a huge difference between what the world will call you and what God calls you. The world can call you many names, but the only voice that should matter to you is the one who calls you redeemed, chosen, forgiven, justified, and blameless. Colossians chapter 1. Why would I listen to the world when it calls me a loser? Because that's what we Christians are, just weak losers. We need a crutch. But there's one that calls me overcomer and conqueror. Why would I listen to the world who calls me their enemy when the one who sustains all things by the power of his word calls me friend, son, and co-heir? Now, I got to stop on that a minute. We always talk analogically. We speak of dad, fatherhood, and we have these images of our head of what fatherhood is, and we relate to that. When God speaks, he speaks ontologically. He speaks to being. Let there be. So when God calls you a co-heir, a son, that's what you is. And I use bad English on purpose. When the world calls you old-fashioned, the one who does not know time at all calls you a new creation. When we listen to the world who calls us weird, the Creator of all things says this, that we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people unto his own possession, so that we may proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Why should I listen to those who mock me and say I have a God delusion, if you know where that comes from? When there is one who loved me so much that he took the very wrath of God for me. Why would I listen to what the world has to say about me? I can't imagine as it gets through to Gideon's ears that they've been called this. But he's remembering this. The one that called him mighty man of valor touched a stick and caught his sacrifice on fire. You can call me names you want, but sticks and stones, remember it was a stick on stone, can really say who I am. See, the only voice that should matter to me is the one who gave his life so that I would be brought from life or from death to life. Gideon went from hiding in a hole to tearing down Asher poles and even on to greater things based upon what God called him, not what people called him. Based on he acted in faith, even at night, he became obedient to what God called him to do, that first step of faith. We learn from Gideon this, that the battle is really spiritual. Yes, it has outward manifestations that we can cut up and chop down, but the battle is really a spiritual one. He looks out and you see the Midianites and they come in and they take your food. That's about as natural as it gets. So you go hungry, they come into your land, but the food, the land, and even the Midianites are not the problem. The problem is these gods. The problem is a spiritual problem. And Gideon recognizes this. In that battle, in the spiritual battle, you must put first things first. It is a spiritual battle. There's these circumstances out here, but the place I've got to start is right here in my house. See, we want the church to change. And we, in our elders meeting on Sunday night, we read an article put out by a young man, and he was ranting and raving and criticizing the church, how it doesn't meet the needs of his generation. Oh, that's what he... And I read it, and I think the elders did too. I'm going, oh, buddy, you better start with your own house. You're writing a whole article criticizing the church to say the church is too critical. If you start in your own house, before you start attacking the church, young people, before you start attacking mom and dad, you better start in your own heart first. You're all upset because they didn't let you go to or do this or that. You better ask yourself this, why are you so upset? Because my friends are going, yeah, I know whose voice you're listening to. I'll tell you what, those friends that you're talking about, when your life begins to fall apart, they flee in a hurry, and it'll be mom and dad sitting next to your surgery bed, I'll guarantee it. And finally, we learn this. The Father's approval is all we need. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says this, just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not as pleasing men, but pleasing God. All I need is my Father's approval. All I need is my word from God. I act on that, because without faith it's impossible to please God. I act on that and leave the rest in God's hands. Even if that means, wait a minute, I don't know how my family is going to respond. Wait a minute, I don't know how my community is going to respond. Wait a minute. That's the family sacred cow. That's the community, the church sacred cow. God, all I care about is your approval. That's what's the most important thing to me. Now, dads, look at me. Look at me, dads. That sounds real good right now. Until your spouse takes the other side. And I know you ladies would never do that. When you're believing God's saying, and then you shared it with your wife, and you're hoping for an encouragement, enthusiasm, she goes, well, yeah, but... Yeah, oftentimes that leads to a fight. If you've been married at all, you know that. Okay? But that's what... Now, ladies, it'd be great if you can be like Gideon's dad. And say, yeah, you got my support. You know what Gideon's dad had to say in doing that? I was wrong in what I was doing before. But anyway, that support in that sense. But all you need is God's support to what he's calling you to do. Honey, God's saying, get out of debt. Give me that credit card. And she goes, uh-uh. Well, yeah, I want to get out of debt. I want your Macy's card. Uh-uh. Okay, that's all right. She turns around and says, good, I want your Sportsman's Warehouse card. All right, so it works both ways. But as you get that call, just respond to that and watch what happens in that small area to begin with. I believe so often as believers, we never push out into the conquering of the Midianites, because we've never really done a deal. We don't want to deal with the Asher pole and the altar in our little world, because that might offend family. Uncle Sue, and notice how I said that. Uncle Sue might not show up at Thanksgiving if I tell him he can't have his boyfriend in the same bedroom. Yeah, he probably won't. Yeah, that's going to meddling, isn't it? When you're saying, hey, come on, everybody, old 40th of July. Well, we'll bring our cake. No, you won't. What? This has happened to me in my house. Come on over to the Super Bowl. We don't watch the commercials. I ain't coming. That's happened in my house. You know what? I don't need your approval. I don't need you to say, well, you're cool because you watch the commercials. Or I need you to sit there and be happy so you can laugh at the funny ones. I know this. For what I'm called to in my house. I will say that again. What I'm called to in my house. I'm not saying yours. In my house, that's what I'm accountable for. And so in my house, we don't do it. And frankly, Scarlett, yeah, you got the idea. Why? Because I'm not there to please you. In my house, I'm there to please my God. And I also recognize I have children I'm responsible for. Please stand. God, I thank you for the practicality of your word. We can be reading from thousands of years back. And we see simple principles of your kingdom of life established to us. Father, I ask right now, I want to pray for those who for years maybe have sought their physical father's approval. Father, that may never come. But Lord, I do pray that they'll recognize they have the father's approval. Help them to move past that. Father, I pray for the fathers that are listening to this, that they would have the courage, the strength to do what is right in the face of a community or other family people that might not respond the right way. But God, you have called all of us to be mighty people of valor. That is, to pursue the thing you've called us to do. Father, help us to recognize that it is a spiritual warfare, that it starts at home, and you're the only one we have to worry about pleasing. Be glorified in all we do, O Father. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcast. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.